On that day of Pentecost, can everyone hear me okay? On that day of Pentecost, when Peter preached a most powerful sermon that caused men to be cut to the very heart, and they wanted to repent. They wanted to repent. Is just repenting and being baptized all there is to growing as a Christian? Just repenting and being baptized. I guess most of you probably know the answer to that. It would be no. God's Word gives us six tools to help us develop as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to take a look at the tool of Bible study to see why Bible study is so important to our spiritual growth. In our study guide, Tools of Spiritual Growth, we find that prayer, Bible study, meditation, fasting, repentance, and the church are all tools that we can use to help grow and develop spiritually. Again, Bible study, meditation, prayer, fasting, repentance, and the church. In Christ's parable of the sower, we find the story of the man who put the seed in the earth. He was called the sower. There in Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. And so there in verse 19, it says, when the word of the kingdom comes to anyone, and the sense of it is not clear. In other words, they become to read about the Sabbath, about the holy days, about God's plan for mankind, but it's not clear to them. They don't understand it. If we are not reading and studying our Bible and meditating on what we're reading and not asking God to help us to understand it, then it could be unclear. And so Christ says there in verse 19, the evil one comes and quickly takes away that which was put in his heart, and his seed is dropped by the wayside. When you're going down a road and you see the grass on the side there and the rocks, that's called the wayside. So he didn't pray and study and ask for understanding. So that seed was put by the wayside. Verse 20, and that which was thrown among the stones, this is he hears the word. We come to church, we hear the word, and straightway he receives the word with joy. So when you learn about the Sabbath, about the holy days, about God's clean and unclean meats, about the feast, you receive all that with joy, don't you? But there in verse 21, having no roots. Verse 21, having no roots, Christ says. How do we develop roots? Again, we develop roots by having the prayer, by having the Bible study, by coming to church and fellowshipping with brethren of like mind, by asking God to help us to understand what we are reading. Christ says here that he goes for a while. And when troubles and pains come because of the word, in other words, they think that they just can't do it. You've been around people that come for a while and then I just can't do it. And so because of the word, he quickly becomes full of doubt. And sadly to say, many have left God's way and God's calling because they have not developed roots. And so they're in verse 22 of Matthew 13. And that which is dropped by the thorns. This is he who has the word. Yes, he has the word with happiness, with joy. But now the cares of this life. Home. Jobs. Sports. Extra activities. Getting involved perhaps in bridge clubs and so forth. The cares of this life. And then the deceitfulness of riches. Thinking that you can get rich quick. Puts a stop to the growth of the word and it bears no fruit. So the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches can cause God's word not to grow in us. There in verse 23 of Matthew 13. And the seed which was sown on good ground. This is he who gives ear to the word. And he gets a sense of what God is saying. He understands the weekly Sabbath. He comes to understand the holy days. God's plan for mankind. He comes to understand that he's been called to be a first fruit of the kingdom of God. And he begins to study and to have Bible study and ask God to give him more understanding. He looks for sin in his life and have daily repentance. Christ says that he is producing fruits. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And so he becomes fruitful of God's way of life. So why is Bible study so important? Why is Bible study so important? We're going to look at some reasons why. Paul wrote to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. We know that Timothy's mother and grandmother were both Christians. And so this is why he says here that from the time that you were a child, talking to Timothy, you have known the holy writings. That is the Old Testament at that time, because the New Testament had not yet been written. Which was able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So he was reading the Old Testament that made him wise to salvation. Every holy writing which comes from God is for profit, for teaching, for training, for guiding, for education in righteousness. All the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. And then if we go back one chapter, 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 19. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 19. Paul writes here again, be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God. How would we do that? Again, by having the Bible study, the prayer, looking for sin in our life and putting that out. Having the meditation on God's word, coming to church and being with the brethren. All of these things are, again, some of the things that God requires of us. We have to grow in grace and knowledge. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we don't know what is truth, then how would we be able to rightly divide it? And then there are, he goes on to say, but shun profane and idle babble, for they will increase to more ungodliness. These messages, that is the profane and idle babble, will spread like cancer. And then he gives a couple of names of people in the church that were doing this. Look at this. Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the faith, saying that the resurrection is already past. So they were going around to the brethren in the church saying that the resurrection had already passed. And look at this, they overthrew the faith of some. So if we're having our Bible study, our prayer, our staying close to God, then perhaps our faith would not have been overthrown, right? They were not having Bible study, prayer, meditating on God's word, repenting and being with their brethren, and that would cause a person's their faith to become weakened. Their faith become weakened. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal that the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from sin. And so how will we know what is sin if we are not opening up our Bibles to see what sin is? God's definition of sin. Today we live in such a world where good is evil spoken of, isn't it? They even call evil good today and good evil. But Christ foretold that these days would come. And so we have to remain close to God, and one of the ways we do that is with the tool that God has given us of Bible study. There in 2 Peter, let's take a look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, and then we're going to the second chapter, 1 and 2. Now, as you know, when the Bible was being formed, there was no scripture divisions. So this is a continuous thought here. In 2 Peter 1, verses 21, for prophecy never came by the word, by the will of men. When we go back and take a look at all the writings, and we'll take a look at this in a few minutes, it never came by a man thinking his own thoughts and putting them into the Bible. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So false teachers were in the church in Peter's day, and false teachers are in the church in our day, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. In the church. And verse 2 there of 2 Peter chapter 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the truth will be blasphemed. So we have to be studying and in our Bibles to know what the truth is. Many a people have left God's truth. Many. So we see here why it is so important to have proper Bible study, so that we can know what we believe. When someone asks you what church you attend, would you have an answer for that? Let's go over to Jude 3 through 8. Jude. The book of Jude is the book just before the book of Revelations. Jude 3 through 8. Now Jude writes here that while I was very diligent to write to you of our common salvation, He says here, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. I was going to write to you about one thing, but I see that I need to write to you about something different. I was going to write to you about our common salvation, but I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you or encouraging you to contend earnestly for the faith. For certain, look at the why. Because certain men creeped into the church. This is why it's so important to know and confirm what we believe. Why it's so important to know when the Sabbath starts and when it ends. God's clean and unclean meat laws. What's required for salvation. So important to know where to find something in the Bible. It's important to know what is truth and what is error. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Denying Jesus Christ. Denying God. Turning grace into lewdness. And look at this, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward he destroyed those who did not believe. And then the angels who did not keep their proper domain, he put them on the earth here to dress the earth and to keep it. Satan the devil got to them, and they all tried to march up to heaven and to dethrone God. And Christ says he saw Satan the devil fall as a star from heaven. And so they did not keep their domain. They didn't do what God told them to do. And so God has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. And so why did God inspire Jude to write this to the church? There in verse 7, one of the reasons why he inspired him to write this is because, brethren, we could be called. We could receive God's Holy Spirit. And then we could not study, not pray, not have Bible study, not come to church, and then we could slip back into the world. Could slip back. I know that every one of us have seen it. There in verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the churches around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of those in authority. And so here he's encouraging us to remain steadfast in the faith. To remain steadfast. And then one more. 1 John 4. Again, these are just examples of why some of the things that happened over the last 2,000 years in the church, and why it's so important to use just a tool of Bible study. Just the one tool. Of course, we do have to have the prayer. We have to have the meditation. We need to come to church. And we also need to fast often. So all of these are tools that God give us. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets, again, have gone out into the world. Now, if you listen to the the radio ministers, all you have to do is just say in your heart that I repent. Just say in your heart you repent. And then just say a quick prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Real quick prayer. And then you just sort of go to the closest church to you. and you're saved. Isn't that interesting? But here he says to test the spirits, to see whether, you know, it's true or not. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. A lot of people don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. It would be hard to believe that, but there are people out there in the world that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Verse 3, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, those who are against Christ, which you have heard are coming and now already are in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are not of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. If you are here, then God is, you either have God's Holy Spirit or God's Holy Spirit is working with you. And so we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not know God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error. And so we find in these sets of scriptures, brethren, that profane and idle babble can creep into the church and could spread like cancer and cause some to stray from the truth. Also, that false teachers could come into the congregation, bringing in destructive heresies. What is a heresy, you may ask? The dictionary reads this. The dictionary reads this. A belief or a practice contrary to the orthodox doctrines of the Christian church, or an opinion contrary to what is normally accepted as mainstream. And I just gave you an example of mainstream just a minute ago. And so that is the world's definition of heresy. Now here is God's definition. God's definition. It would be a belief or a practice contrary to God's truth, as spelled out in God's word. Now that would be heresy. It would be a belief or practice contrary to God's truth, as spelled out in God's word. As Jude talks about ungodly men being in the church who turn the grace of God into lewdness, and John reminds us to test the spirits to see whether they are of God. And so we see from these examples that I've gave here why it is so important to have just that one tool. We need all six of them, but just that, the importance of Bible study so that we can grow spiritually. We also see that it is utmost important to know what we teach and what we believe according to God's word. To know what we teach and to know what we believe according to God's word. Now in our booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God, this booklet covers 20 different beliefs God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, Satan the devil, humanity, sin and God's law, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the 3 day and three night repentance, water baptism, the Sabbath day, the Passover, the festivals of God, God's food laws, military service in war, promises to Abraham, God's purpose for mankind, the church, tithing, the resurrections, and Christ's return are covered in this booklet. Now, can you or I discuss any of these beliefs in a convincing way? In a convincing way. Again, if we are not able to do so, then again, knowing what God reveals to us through His church is very important. This is why we're here today. So I'm going to take one of these and we'll go through it. Let's take a look at repentance, for an example. Repentance. We believe, this is the introduction to the section in here on repentance, we believe that all who truly repent of their sins in full surrender and willing obedience to God, and who by faith accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have their sins forgiven by an act of divine grace, such individual is justified, they are pardoned for the penalty of sin, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which literally abides within us and supplies the divine love that alone can fulfill the law and produce righteousness. The divine love of God in us. They are baptized into the body of Christ, which is the true church of God. We believe in a true change in life and attitude. Only those who have the indwelling presence of and are being led by the Holy Spirit belong to Jesus Christ. Now that is in Romans 8 verse 9. That last statement that was just quoted. And so let's go through this. There in Hebrews 6 verse 1, I'm just going to give you these scriptures. We're not going to turn to these. But there in Hebrews 6 verse 1, it shows that repentance from dead works is listed as a part of the foundation that ultimately leads to perfection and eternal life. Repentance from dead works is listed as a part of the foundation that ultimately leads to perfection and eternal life. Jesus Christ pointed out the importance of repentance when he twice said this, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that is in Luke 13, verses 3 and verse 5. Unless you repent. That's when some came to him and told him about the Tower of Siloam falling on others and killed them. And so Christ says, unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. God requires that everyone repent. God requires that everyone repent. Acts 17 verse 30. It's not just saying it. You see, it's not just saying it, it's doing it. That's the first step. In the first recorded sermon in the New Testament church, Peter told the peoples to repent. And we find that in Acts 2 verse 38. Repentance goes beyond just being sorry. Now my little grandson, I tell him not to spill water, and he spills it anyway, and then he says, sorry. Sorry. But it doesn't work that way. See, it's more than sorry. Are showing remorse for one's past action. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 8 through 11. True repentance involves a recognition of our nature. We have to first recognize that we have human nature put within us at birth. If you put one toy on the floor between two children, or two babies, they're both going to go after that one toy, because of the human nature that's instilled within them. True repentance involves a recognition of our nature and its opposition to God, Romans 8, verse 7. It requires a change, a complete change and thorough turnaround in one's life. A change from going the way of the world to going the way of God. We find that in Acts 26, verse 20. It is full surrender and willing obedience based on the knowledge of how God wants us to live. Repentance begins with our crying out to God for forgiveness of our past sins and our accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. See, so we have a part to play in this, in our own repentance and turning around. It is not a decision based on emotions. Even though there in Acts 2 verse 37, when Peter preached that sermon, and the men were cut to the very heart. That's emotion. But then they said, what shall we do? And Peter says, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin. It's not a decision based on emotion only, though emotion is certainly an important part, but a decision to sincerely obey God through faith in God. Philippians 3 verses 8 and 9. Repentance is not simply compliance. For our work, we have a lot of compliance. A lot of compliance. So it's not compliance with a system of religion or a set of rules. Confidence in God and God's way will lead one to act in accordance to God's will to manifest works of righteousness in us. James 2, 17 through 26. True godly repentance is not something that a person can work up in himself. It is a gift of God. So even turning around and going the other way is a gift of God. 2 Timothy 2:25. It is one of the many good things our Heavenly Father gives us. God leads us to repentance. Romans 2 verse 4. Repentance is a major part of the conversion process. Repentance goes before baptism. Goes before. After repentance and baptism, God's Holy Spirit is given to a person through the laying on of hands. And so, after repentance and baptism, God's Holy Spirit is given to one by the laying on of hands. You'll find that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. The Holy Spirit now leads us. After we receive God's Holy Spirit, we've repented, we've been baptized, then God's Holy Spirit leads us to live God's way. We now have the love. See, so the God's Holy Spirit gives us the love of God that flows out from our heart. So we now have the love of God motivating us to keep God's law. That's 1 John 5:3. True Christianity has the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, true Christians have the Holy Spirit, and then they are striving to live as Christ lived. Repentance is necessary for putting off the old man and becoming a part of the family of God. So it's not what we call legalism, keeping God's law to be justified. So it's not that. Soon after godly repentance, one should be baptized and receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verses 37 and 38. Thereby, as I said earlier, blotting out our past sins. Baptism does. And afterward comes a life led by God's Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge. And bearing fruits, as we saw in the sower, bearing fruits and being perfected in holiness and righteousness by the power of God's Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Repentance must be ongoing. That's why we have the Days of Unleavened Bread every year, to remind us that we have to come out of sin. It is not a one-time action in the life of the believer. A converted person must continue to battle sin. Because at baptism, we don't get away. We don't come up out of the grave in human nature. Human nature stays in the water. It comes back up with us, doesn't it? So we have to battle human nature all of our lives. 1 John 1 verses 8 through 10 and 1 John 2 verse 1. We have to battle sin all of our lives. So our human nature remains for the rest of our lives and wars against the mind, leading to sin. You ever had a bad thought just pop into your mind? Where did that come from? So we have in the battle, see. Romans 7 verse 17 and 20. I'm just referring to these scriptures. 20 through 21. One desires to please and obey God. The love of God in us acknowledges the perfect way of God and should cause us to want to follow that way, but also realize the weaknesses of the flesh. So that's one of the things that God's Holy Spirit does for us. It leads us to want to follow God. Revelations 2, before I give that scripture, God does not condemn the believer. God does not condemn the believer as long as he remains in a repentant attitude of overcoming sin. He doesn't condemn the believer. That's good to know. You find those references in to the seven churches there, Revelations 2 verse 7 and verse 11 and verse 17 and 26 and then chapter 3, 5, 12 and 21. Again, God does not condemn the believer as long as he remains in a repentant attitude of overcoming. The converted person continues through repentance and faith to rely on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to cover his sins in this lifelong process of overcoming. And so, there we have it. A quick Bible study on repentance. Now, of all of God's creation, human beings are unique. Every one of us in here. We were actually created to have a relationship with God. After all, we are created in God's image and we are made after his likeness. All physical life formed are governed mainly by instinct. Except for mankind. Robins build nest after the robin kind. So you could take a robin out of the environment and lock that robin up for 2 or 3 years, and then take that robin and put him back into the environment, and then that robin will build a robin's nest. Even though he's been out of the environment for three years. Because it's instinct. And all the beavers, they all build the beaver dam just alike. So that's all instinct. We are created after the God kind. We were created to build and to design and to have feelings and to have a relationship with our Creator. Mankind was given a roadmap to life. A roadmap. A guidebook, if you will. If we are not governed by that roadmap, as we see every day, as we listen to it on the news, every day, if we're not governed by that roadmap, then our intellectual and spiritual interests will go the wrong direction. We see it all the time. That roadmap to life is called the Holy Bible. It would make no sense for the Creator of humankind to create a masterpiece and not send an instruction book along with it. The Holy Bible is that instruction book. The Bible is a collection of some 66 books, as we know. 39 of those are in the Old Testament, and 27 are in the New Testament. These were composed by about 40 writers with different writing styles, living in some 10 nations, writing over a span of 1,500 years. The Bible is a miracle. In spite of the Bible's great diversities, there is astounding unity in the Bible. It is consistent and coherent. Consistent and coherent all the way through. How could that be, you might ask? Because God inspired and directed every writer. Thus, the real author behind the scene is God Almighty. There in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, we've read this, but let's read it one more time. 2 Peter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the King James. Now, the English Standard puts it this way. All scripture is given by God breathed. That's what that word inspiration means. God breathed. So all scripture is given by the breath of God and profitable for teachings, for reproof, for corrections, for training in righteousness. So when we're reading the scriptures, we're reading God breathes. And so the Bible also is just one book. It's divided. It is divine revelation to man, and therefore the literal and the actual words of God. And God warns in the Old Testament and the New, Deuteronomy 4, verse 2 and 12, verse 32, that's in Deuteronomy, and then in the book of Revelations, 22, verses 18 and 19, God tells us not to take away from, or not to add to, the scriptures. The Bible even gives us merits. First person's quotings from God. First person's quoting directly from God whenever you read the phrase, "Thus says the Lord," "Thus says the Lord," that is a direct quote from God Almighty. Now here are some keys to helping us understand the Bible. Some keys to help us understand the Bible. Number one, take time. Take time. Take time. Make time to devote to daily Bible reading. Make Bible study a high priority. Many great and successful men and women have been dedicated to daily Bible reading. Abraham Lincoln, as you've many of you already know, if you've read the life of Abraham Lincoln, burned a midnight hour studying the Bible. And even our forefathers, the ones who wrote the Constitution, a lot of the guidelines in the Constitution came from the Bible. So take time, make time to devote to daily Bible reading. And number two, reflect and think deeply about what you've read. Reflect and think deeply about what you've read and consider how you will apply the lesson to your life. You cannot make a better investment of your time than reading the Bible. Pray for God's help to understand. Very important. Pray for God's help to understand. Prayer and Bible study actually go hand in hand. In effective daily Bible reading, Christ says, "Ask and it will be given you." So if we ask God to give us understanding, if we ask God to give us more of His Holy Spirit, Christ says, to ask and God will give it. And then number three, take advantages of human and technical resources. In my the two computers that I have at home, I have the eSword on those computers. The eSword has 9 different translations, and I can go on the internet and download more, but these all work well. And so as you can see, I can just pull up, I can quote all 9 scriptures at one time in a sermon. I can actually paste those right into the sermon. We couldn't do that 20 years ago. You'd have to start working on a sermon Saturday night and then work on it all week. And then also on that eSword, there are 8 commentaries and other Bible helps. 8 commentaries. And then number 5, if we don't take the time to reflect, if we don't take the time to think about what we've studied, if we don't ask God to help us to come to a better understanding of what we've read, if we don't take the time to ask God to help us do that, then all of the commentaries, all of the Bibles would be fruitless to us if we don't ask God to help us to understand His way. To really understand the Bible on a deeper spiritual level requires us to meet some important conditions. One key is humility. To be humble in mind. And to be teachable. Being receptive and responsive to God's instructions. Yes, being receptive and responsive to God's instructions. Just like a little child. Then Proverbs 9 and verse 10, Proverbs 9 and verse 10, it says there that the fear of the eternal or of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10. For us to really understand God's word requires us to have an attitude of deep reverence for God, and submission to God's authority. God blesses readers with understanding when they show that they are willing to apply and obey what they've learned. God blesses readers with understanding when they show that they are willing to apply and obey what they've learned. And so in conclusion, brethren, Jesus Christ quoted Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3 when he stood there before Satan, the devil, being tempted. And he said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." It should first be noted that the purpose, it should be first be noted in this scripture that the purpose of God's word is for us to live by it. Second, God strengthens and sustains us spiritually. God strengthens and sustains us spiritually. If we do not eat food or drink water for about 45 to 50 days, what's going to happen? We're going to die. And so just as we must have physical food to sustain us, we must have God's word to sustain us spiritually. Spiritually. Number three, we should have an inquiring mind to hunger for God's word. Number four, Jesus included every word of God, and he didn't say just some of them. Number four. Number five. How can we live by the word of God if we're not reading it? How can we live by the word of God if we're not reading God's word? And then number six. Just as you are what you eat, ingesting the word of God can make us increasingly godly. Ingesting God's word can make us increasingly godly. Remember that God's thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55, 9 and 10. Bible reading is profitable for many reasons. Paul writes that the Berean believers were more noble than the Jews of Thessalonica, for they gave serious attention to the word, searching the holy writings every day to see if those things were so that they had been taught. So when we come to services, I've given you a lot of scriptures to look over, but sometimes next week, just, you know, make sure, check up on me. Like Tommy said, I wanted to give this to Mr. Kellers so that he might want to check up on me. They're in Acts 17, verse 11. So Bible study is a serious matter. The only reliable security that we can count on in this life is God Almighty. The only reliable security. We can be here today, can't we? And gone tomorrow. So what really matters is what happens to us after this life. After this life. For this reason, we must be doers of God's word and not hearers only. Paul writes that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Be enthusiastic and passionate about God's word. Treat God's word as if you're looking for a treasure in a field. And if you're looking for that treasure in the pages of your Bible, you'll find it. The tool of Bible study. So, brethren, I hope that something that I've said today will get us through another week, another month, another year.